Good morning. I heard a story about a guy who was staying at an Airbnb a while back. It was a nice place. The host had definitely put forth the effort. Little decorative touches everywhere. And on the mantle was this ceramic vase. And it was one of those pieces that exists purely to look nice. There's actually no function. You're not putting anything in this piece. At the last day of the trip, he's packing up, ready to go, and he accidentally bumps the mantle, and the vase falls down and shatters on the hardwood. Cracks clean into a few pieces, and he realizes he's got about 90 minutes to get to the airport to check in. So what do? He does what everyone does in a crisis and a deadline. He goes to the sink, goes to the kitchen, under the sink, finds something sticky, doesn't even have to be glue, and he tries his best to put that thing back together. In 15 minutes, he had it back on that mantle, and if you stood far enough away from it, it still looked like a vase. So he leaves, he does the checkout procedure, and he leaves a 5-star review for this place. Partly out of gratitude and partly out of guilt. A few weeks later, he gets a message from the host, and they're friendly at first. "Hey, I hope you had a great stay. I have a strange question. Did anything happen to the vase on the mantle?" And he turns out the host had been dusting and picked up the mantle, the vase to dust, and it just fell apart in their hands. And the host could see exactly where there was this not glue substance that was just permeating on the inside. So the dude fessed up. He apologized. He offered to pay for it. And she actually wrote back something that he wasn't expecting. She said, "Honestly, I wish you'd just told me. I wouldn't have been upset. Now I feel like I can't trust the rest of your review." And that's the line that stuck with him. It wasn't really about the vase. It was about the hiding that cost more than the breaking ever did. We've been talking about this ancient Japanese art form called kintsugi. And this is it's the art form. Kintsugi actually means golden joinery, which I didn't know joinery was a word until I had to define that. But when a piece of pottery breaks, instead of throwing it away or hiding the cracks, the artist repairs it with gold, and the broken places become the most beautiful places. The fracture lines become the feature. And the bowl that shattered is now worth more than the bowl that never broke. When I was laid up for surgery, I did this one. It is not perfect, and these are way better and done by professionals. But I will say, it takes time and patience and a little bit of craftiness, to be honest. And I don't know that God gave me two of those three, so I'll let you determine which they are. But I want you to hold on to that image. All right, because I think that is the picture, the ultimate great picture of what Paul is describing in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. So if you'll go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 in your Bible, in your app. We have Bibles on the back table if you need one. If you don't have access to a Bible, please take that Bible home with you. Everybody should have access to the Word of God. That is our gift to you. Before we get into the text, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, before we get into the text, I need to be honest with you about something. Some of you walked in here today carrying something heavy. And this sermon is about community. And if I spend the whole morning talking about what you can do for others without acknowledging that first, I'm doing you a disservice. Because Paul does the exact same thing and feels the exact same way. "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. Paul is writing this letter from a place of real suffering. Not theoretical suffering, not a bland Sunday morning, everybody has struggles type of sermon suffering. This is a man who's been beaten. He's been imprisoned. He's been shipwrecked. And when he's writing this letter, he's in a Roman prison that he will not get out of. Yet he starts with, "Blessed be God." This is not a fake it till you make it moment. This is a man who's been through the fire and knows where the gold comes from. And here's what I want you to notice. Paul doesn't say that comfort comes to us so we can get through it quietly and move on. He says comfort comes in our affliction so that we are able to comfort others who are in affliction. We, with the comfort that we ourselves receive, we comfort others. The broken places become the ministry. The cracks are where the gold goes in. Kintsugi. But before you go to the comfort, before you get to the comfort, we got to deal with the part that most of us like to skip. The part where it actually breaks. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt like we'd received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. Paul says they were so crushed, they despaired life itself. He says they felt the sentence of death. I need to tell you, admitting this is not weakness. This is honesty. And the reason it matters is because a lot of us who've been going to church for a while, you've been subtly trained in church culture to practice something that I call okayness. Okayness. Keep the cracks out of sight. Show up and smile and say, "I'm blessed," when what you actually mean is, "I am barely holding it together." And I got a question, a prompt for you to sit with this week. Think about the last time you told someone in this church the actual truth about how you were doing. Not the lobby version, the real version. And if you can't remember the last time you told someone in this church what you were really feeling, how you were really doing, that might be a reality you need to sit with. Paul asks for prayer. The Apostle Paul, who wrote half the New Testament, who planted churches across the known world, who had seen the risen Christ himself, he says, "You gotta help me by praying for me." He's not embarrassed by it. He's not performing strength. He knows he needs his people. And the problem is, we don't let people need us. We don't let ourselves need people. Showing up to serve in church, that feels safe. Being served means being seen. Being seen means being vulnerable. And vulnerable is the one thing we've decided not to allow. There's a story about a man many years ago who'd been carrying something for a long time. He had built up some serious financial debt quietly over the years by a series of bad decisions. And every day he went to work, and every day he came home, and he smiled at the dinner table, and he never said a word. And his wife had no idea. His children had no idea. His friends at church had no idea. He was performing okayness at a level that would have won an Academy Award. One day, a pastor said something in a sermon that cracked him open just enough. And he said, I don't even remember exactly what was said in the sermon, but afterwards I walked up to the pastor and I said, I need help and I don't know who to tell. And that one sentence changed the trajectory of his entire family. And I wonder how many of you sitting here today are in the exact same seat right now. Not with debt necessarily, but with something. An addiction that you've managed to hide. A marriage that looks fine from the outside, but feels like a slow disaster on the inside. A grief that you haven't let anyone near. A trauma that you decided long ago was just yours to carry alone. There's a reason Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus. He knew what he was about to do. He knew resurrection was coming, and he still wept because the grief was real and the people in front of him were broken. He didn't fast forward through the pain to get to the miracle. He sat in it with them. That's the Father of mercies that Paul is talking about here. He's the God that the God of all comfort is not a God who tells you, toughen up. It's a God who crawls into the tomb with you. So what does that actually look like for us? Paul names it clearly. God comforts us so that we can comfort others. That's not a transaction, that's a cycle. It is kintsugi on a communal scale. The places that you have been broken and repaired with gold are not scars to be hidden away. They are the exact places God uses to reach someone who's cracked in the exact same way. When I grew up, my grandparents basically lived on the same property we did. I saw them every single day. We had dinner at their house every Sunday for lunch without fail. I was not allowed to miss. In the summer, there was actually a rule my dad made. We had to spend the night in our own house at least two nights of the week. When I was 14 years old, they had a horrific car accident. It killed my grandfather, and my grandmother ended up in the hospital. She was in ICU for weeks, hospital for months. In the middle of all that, my mom is trying to take care of her mother, who's in ICU, plan a visitation, plan a funeral, console two grieving sons, and on top of everything else, figure out what to wear to the funeral and the visitation. Because nobody had planned or prepared for this. People wanted to help. Our church brought us an insane amount of food, more than anyone could eat. And my brother and I could put away some food. And that's what churches do. And that's a beautiful thing. But there was this one lady in my mom's circle who, by her own admission, was not much of a cook. Kind of a joke. She caught her kitchen on fire at one point. Like, she's just not good at it. And everybody knew it. She knew it too. But she was really good at one thing: shopping. She couldn't plan a funeral. She couldn't make a casserole that anybody would actually eat. But she knew my mom needed something to wear for the visitation and something to wear for the funeral. And she knew my mom didn't have time or the headspace to go try on dresses. So she went to as many stores as she could. And one night when my mom got home, there were 17 black dresses laid out on her bed that were in her size. She had bought all 17 dresses. My mom picked the two that she wanted, and then that lady returned the other 15 to the multiple stores that she went to. That was over 30 years ago. And to this day, my mom still talks about that. Out of everything people did for my family in that season, that's the one that stuck with her, because that woman didn't try to do what everyone else was doing. She actually just looked at what she had to offer and she used it. That's the thing about kintsugi on a communal scale. It's not always the obvious gift. Think about who's in your life right now, who's in the middle of something hard. And think about what you actually have to offer them. Not what you think you're supposed to offer, what you actually have to offer. That is not a coincidence. That is design. And here's the uncomfortable flip side of things. If we never let people in when we're the ones breaking, we never get the gold. Can't experience comfort, the comfort that Paul is talking about, from a distance. You can't be in kintsugi from outside the community. The pottery has to actually be in the artist's hands. And Paul ends with this: you also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted to us through the prayers of many. Paul is describing something bigger than personal prayer. He's describing a community so woven together that when one part is suffering, the whole body is praying. And when the deliverance comes, the whole body gives thanks. The suffering is shared, the comfort is shared, and the gratitude is shared. That's the church. That's the church. Not a place where everybody performs okayness together. It's a place where people bring their golden, their broken pieces, and the gold gets worked in together. I want to take a moment to tell you about something we have here at High Point that I don't think enough people know about. We have a life coaching and counseling ministry here that is available to you, and I mean really available. No cost, completely free. If you're sinking in debt or you need someone to sit down with you and make out an actual budget, we can do that. If you're wrestling with an addiction and you recognize that you need more than willpower, we can walk with you through that. If your marriage is struggling and you need someone in your corner that doesn't judge you, we have marriage counseling. If you need individual counseling, if you're carrying a trauma and need someone trained to help you work through it, we got you on that one too. And if you are just going through a hard season and you can't even name what's actually wrong, that counts. You don't have to be in a dramatic crisis to ask for help. Sometimes the weight is just too much and you need someone to help you carry it. All of that is spiritually grounded. All of that is free. And if whatever you're walking through is beyond our ability to help you, we will get you in touch with the right person. We're not going to just hand you a pamphlet and say, good luck. We will help you find what you need. The information on that ministry is on the ministry wall. The information is on a table in the lobby. And there are business cards for our ministry leader, Amy Stevens, there too. Please don't leave here today still carrying something that you don't have to carry alone. But what does it mean to live in community? What does it mean to live community out? Well, there are three things. First, you have to be vulnerable enough to actually receive help. And this is where we started. This is what Paul is doing in this passage. He's not hiding the affliction. He's not pretending. He's saying, we despaired of life itself, and you must help us with this through prayer. That's the posture. You can't get gold worked into the cracks of your life if nobody knows the cracks are there. Community starts with honesty about where you actually are. Second, and I know this is groundbreaking, you have to actually be in community to live out communal living, all right? And that's more than just showing up on Sunday mornings. The truth, Sunday service is just 1 hour long. And if that's the only place people see you, that's the only place they know to look for you when something goes wrong. Real community happens in the spaces between. So let me tell you what's available here. On Wednesday nights, we have a group called The Table. It follows the school schedule, so it's on break for the summer. But in the fall, we're starting back up. This fall, we have a class on everyday evangelism that I promise will not be bullhorn weird. We have a women's class on the minor prophets. We have a men's class on the birth of the church in Acts. Wednesday mornings, there's a women's Bible study currently going through the Gospel of Mark. There's a men's accountability group on Sunday afternoons. All of that stuff is on our website. But guess what? Community living doesn't just happen in a Bible study. We have a knitting group here. We have a quilting group here. We have a Senior Connect group that meets monthly to play games and to stay active. There's a group that gets together in this church. There's a group that just gets together to play board games. And those are just the ones I know about. Honestly, if there is something you want to do, and you'd love to do it with people from this church, start it. Start it. For about 8 years here at High Point, I've played in a volleyball league team made up of people from this church. And some of them stayed for one season. Some of them stayed for multiple seasons. But over the last 12 years, probably 17, 18 different people from this church have been on that team at one point or another. If you want to go join a rec league, play volleyball, softball, whatever else, let's find some people to do it with you. If you've been wanting to work out more, start a workout group, a walking group, running group. It doesn't have to be official. It just has to be people. We also have Sunday school every week. One class is currently studying Luke, and there's a brand new one starting next week on grace. Take a look at this.
How do you live out the gospel in life between Sunday morning and Saturday night? How do you live out the gospel in life between the world that is and the world to come? And how do you live out the gospel in life between mission and discipleship, evangelism and justice, cultural engagement, and distinctive practices between your Christian community and the community around you.
I'm excited about everything that High Point is doing. And I'm asking you, get involved. Get in community. The third piece of this, all of this only works if you are willing to actually care. You have to care. In week one of this series, we asked you to fill out a card. We asked you to write down on it what is a reality in your life you didn't expect to have to deal with. And we took those cards, and the staff prayed over them, and the shepherds prayed over them, and the deacons prayed over them. And in the back of the room today, every single answer has been printed out on a single answer on a card. So when you pick up a card, when you leave, they will have one person's answer on that card. We printed them so that you can't do any handwriting analysis or anything like that. But I want you to take one on your way out. Make sure it's not your own, someone else's. But I want you to commit to praying for that person. I want you to commit to pray for that person every single day of this week. And if you miss a day, that's fine. Don't give up. Pick it up and keep going. Don't quit on that person. This is what it looks like to care for each other's burdens. Someone wrote down something hard in their life and put it in that box, and they are trusting that someone in this room would actually do something with it. Don't let that trust go to waste. So summing it up, you need to be vulnerable so people can actually reach you. You need to be in community so that people are close enough to notice. And you need to be willing to pick up and carry what you find out. That's the cycle. That's kintsugi in the church. So if you haven't picked up on it over the last 3 weeks, here's the truth that underlies this whole series. You, in life, you are going to walk through things you didn't sign up for. A diagnosis you weren't expecting, a marriage that doesn't look quite the way you thought it would. A loss that rearranged everything, interactions and experiences with your children or your parents that you didn't think you'd have to deal with. A season that felt like a sentence of death. The dish that is life, that dish is going to break. It is not a maybe. The question is, what will you do after it breaks? Because here's the promise. When you come out on the other side, or even while you're still in the middle of it, the comfort that you experienced is not yours to keep. The comfort that you experienced is not yours to keep. It is yours to give. That's the pattern that Paul lays out. The whole pattern of the church. That's what it looks like when we're doing it right. Our Heavenly Father comforts us in all our affliction. He doesn't waste it. He's not confused by it. He is working gold into every crack. And if I could say one more thing, if you're sitting here today and you're in the breaking part, you haven't been repaired yet. You're still raw, broken pieces on the floor. I want you to know that God's already in that room. And so are we. That's what the church is for. I want High Point to be a place where kintsugi is possible, where people bring the broken pieces, where someone's willing to show up with 17 dresses because that's what's needed, and where gold gets worked into things through prayer, through honesty, and through showing up. And that's how you handle the life you didn't expect.